Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the new screensavers is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. The new screensavers is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans, introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/NSS.
The Raspberry Pi, DrinkBot, TikiTron, Interactive Augmented TV, and the Acer Chromebook Tab 10. Live from the Twit Studios in Petaluma, California, it's the new Screensavers! One take.
From Phoenix, Arizona. They're escaping the heat. They came here because it's 240 degrees in Phoenix.
Dang.
And did a great job. He says he's been watching this since he was this high. Right? No? Okay.
Yeah, I was already old.
You were already old? Hey, we're going to have a fun show. This is episode 167, recorded Saturday, July 28th, 2018. I am Leo Laporte.
I'm Jason Howell. Good to be back.
Good to have you.
Thanks.
Host of All About Android. Notice the festive. Did you go out and get one?
This is my normal attire. I've never once worn my normal wardrobe.
So around the house, this is how you would look?
Yeah, I get home, and my polo shirt comes off, and my tiki shirt goes on.
Well, you're in luck.
This one tiki shirt every day.
We're going to do tikis in just a bit. Before we get to that, though, I want to tell you about Eye Candy Lab. They're working on augmented reality for TV.
Yeah,
for regular cool television stuff. Programming. Co-founder Robin Show Moser will join us. He's going to be on Skype to talk about Augment.TV. And it's first debut on US TV on Nickelodeon, but also plans for the future. Where do you see this? It's very cool.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like the TV comes alive. It jumps out at you. Really neat stuff. I like robots. I don't know about you. I imagine you do, Leo.
I like them more now.
Robots that make you drinks, I like even better. I'm not sure I've had a robot make me a drink, but we will today. Apparently, DNA Lounge, which I'm sure you're familiar with in San Francisco, pretty cool place, had the fifth annual Cocktail Robotics Grand Challenge. And Dr. Bombay and the makers of the TikiTron are here in studio to show it off.
The doctor and the Mrs. Bombay and Dr. Kiki. And they're here, and look at the tiki, and I understand sacrifices will be made.
Oh, boy.
In order to... And we...
Who? Who will be sacrificed? Stay tuned and find out.
It's all based on Raspberry Pi. coming up also, Megan reviewing that Amazon camera that lets Amazon employees into your house. That should be interesting.
Thanks for taking one for the team, Megan. I took one for the team. I'm going to review this Chrome OS tablet, the Acer Chromebook.
What do you mean? Took one for the
10.
This is the hottest thing out there.
It's interesting.
Okay.
We'll talk about it.
Jason's review coming up. But first, the hot topics of the week. It's interesting. Facebook lost more money on the stock market this week than any company in the history of the stock market.
Yeah, that was a big drop.
It was like a $150 billion drop in value, all because the market is so weird. Did they lose money? No. Did they make money? Oh, lots. Did they lose users? No. They just didn't gain quite as fast as they did last quarter.
We expected amazing, and you gave us really, 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 really good.
This is really unfortunate because the real problem Facebook's facing with 1.5 billion monthly active users is there's no one left.
Yeah.
They filled the world. So of course they didn't grow as fast. They're still growing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge drop in a single day. It obviously 20%. Hasn't recovered at this point. 20% drop. Yeah. And
Twitter also lost 20%. Twitter also lost 20%.
But it didn't amount to nearly as much.
No, but Twitter actually did lose users. More than 1 million fewer monthly active users because they were bots. And so when Twitter cleaned up by purging automated spam accounts. They lost 1 million users. And, of course, stock market, again, it's all about growth.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, no. So they really punished Twitter. I lost 24,000 followers.
I lost 1,500 followers, yeah. Somewhere around there.
Yeah, mine, it's about 5% is what I lost. So okay. I'd be honest with you, I can almost assure you it's more like 50% for almost everybody, right? But Twitter doesn't want to kill 150 million accounts.
Twitter's kind of in between a rock and a hard place, yeah. Right? Because, like, bot accounts and fake accounts on their platform devalues the service for the user,
that's
right?
That's good for no one.
But removing those bots devalues the service for the investors because they're saying, wait a minute, we're seeing negative growth instead of positive growth, which is apparently the most important thing to investors.
The stock market is stupid. Can I just say
it's
that?
It's stupid, but stupid rich.
Rich,
full of
stupid.
Money.
Yes. Obviously Facebook's going to be around for a lot longer. There's no reason. Twitter, maybe not, but I don't think either of these growth figures should have impact the value of the company. Just impacts the stock price.
Do you think that any of the Facebook drop is attributed to this whole delete Facebook thing that we've been hearing about time and time again?
It may be,
the momentum behind that is not enough to do that, right?
Maybe. Yeah, well, first of all, it's not. Yeah, it's so few that it's not impacting that at all and still grew. And that's not why it didn't grow as fast. It didn't grow as fast because they're literally running out of people.
Right.
Almost everybody who's on the internet is a regular user of Facebook. So where do you find growth? It's one of the reasons Facebook is trying to provide internet access for the third world by putting up drones and balloons and all sorts of stuff. Internet.org. Because they need more users. They need more growth. But this growth, I think it's really... not a good thing that the market focuses so much on, kind of, especially with tech companies, on this doubling every quarter, this kind of crazy growth that isn't sustainable, because it forces companies to act in a way that isn't really in anybody's interest, including the company's interest, just for the stock market. But that's the way it is.
Potentially ethically, you know, entering murky waters just to get whatever they can do to get that heads up. And
the right thing for Twitter to do would be to ban every fake account. But it would cut so much into its growth.
Absolutely.
They would say, so they don't want to do it. Yeah. Here's one I couldn't be happier about. You remember a couple of years ago, Charter, the cable company, bought the internet division of Time Warner, renamed the brand to Spectrum. All right, so it's Spectrum Internet. A lot of you have Spectrum Internet. New York State is kicking Spectrum out of the state.
Wow. That's harsh.
The state, when the merger happened in 2016, the state said, okay, you can merge, but you have to roll out high-speed internet access to underserved rural areas. That's part of the deal. Spectrum did not do so after 2 years. They're contractually forced to. So the state says, all right, that's it. You're done. We're going to fine you $3 million in penalties. You have 60 days to continue service. While we find a replacement, you got to be out of here in 3 months.
Seems like a very quick time to find a replacement.
Whoa! And, you know, I'll tell you, I've wanted to do the same thing. I used to serve on the digital committee for the city of Petaluma. The way cable works is each region, each locale has basically gives a monopoly to a cable company. Mm-hmm. And the cable company gives you certain concessions in order to be able to operate. So here in Petaluma, we have Comcast. In fact, the whole Bay Area. Comcast is the internet service provider for the Bay Area. As well as the cable company. It's a great monopoly. It's a wonderful thing to have. But they didn't ever come through on any of the things they wanted. They said when they came in and said, we want the franchise, we're going to wire the schools, we're going to wire business, we're going to. They never did any of this. But, when I was on this committee, I said, we've got to punish them. We've got to change. We've got to find somebody else. Everybody said, you don't want to be the politician who basically kills people's internet service.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah,
you kick out Spectrum. Suddenly, nobody in New York State has internet service, and you're the guy who did it? Oh, that's not good. So, you know.
And on the opposite side of the spectrum, no pun intended, this happening right now in a very, you know, in the lead up to a very heated election period.
Oh, boy.
could, I guess, be good for the politicians in a certain way that are making this decision.
Well, I think it is a good thing because I think these companies really do ride roughshod over the localities.
Sure.
They don't give the services they're supposed to. They're predatory. You remember when AT&T and Time Warner was a merger that AT&T said, and here's the best thing, it's going to lower prices across the board. As soon as the merger was approved, they raised prices. They raised them. They don't care.
It serves them to say that. They get the deal, then everybody forgets
about it. They lie. So we'll see. I think there's not a chance in HE double hockey sticks that Spectrum's going to get out of New York. They're going to obviously appeal it. And somebody's going to finally say, well, yeah, they suck, but what are we going to do?
Right, what else do we have?
It's the same reason you and I still use Comcast. They suck, but what's your choice?
Well, I've got Sonic, even though it's fiber to the node and not the home. So it's really AT&T.
Yeah,
right.
Because they have the
where
copper.
I am. I don't have the true fiber.
So you have
connection.
DSL. You don't have fiber.
Yeah,
here in the studio we have the Sonic fiber. It's 20 gigabits. It's
yeah.
Amazing.
Oh yeah, it's amazing.
Or 10 gigabits.
I wish that I had access to that because I feel like if you're in a Sonic neighborhood, personally, I feel like you kind of win the internet lottery as
you
far
did.
As that's concerned.
That's the problem. It's a lottery.
Yeah.
One other story before we get to we got so much good stuff. I don't want to spend too much time, but I had to point out. You know, Amazon has a face recognition service. They spell recognition with a K.
Recognition.
It's very kind of Orwellian the way
yes,
they spell it.
Is.
They offer it to governments and all sorts of people. ACLU said, you know, this stuff is not great. It's this artificial intelligence is trained. It's not good. Law enforcement's relying on it. So they thought, here, we'll do a test. They downloaded, they don't say from where, 25,000 mugshots. And then they ran through Amazon's recognition and then ran pictures of all 538 members of Congress through it. And they got 28 hits.
Which is not to say that they are criminals, although some people might.
Well, they might be.
They might be. But not necessarily in the same way.
Now,
it's an incorrect matching, basically.
Notice the disproportionate number of people of color and women, because most of the Amazon recognition system is trained on white men. And this is the problem, especially if you're a person of color, that you're going to get identified inappropriately and maybe even arrested.
Yeah, what's interesting about this is that the software apparently is set at 80% confidence as a
default.
That's
pretty high.
That's the default.
Yeah.
Amazon is saying after this that they...
You should have said higher.
Yeah, you should have said higher, and actually we encourage you to do that. But when you read through Amazon's kind of documentation about that, it says if the face match produces a sufficiently high similarity score, say 99%, you can authenticate the employee. So it's almost like they refer to it as like a hypothetical thing of changing the percentage, but they don't actually tell you, hey, 80% is actually kind of low. You might want to turn that.
You saw one of the members of Congress... six members of the Congressional Black Caucus were flagged, including John Lewis, the legendary civil rights activist from Georgia. They got to work on this. And I think it's a cautionary. I'm glad the ACLU did this because it's a cautionary tale about the power of face recognition. We say all the time, we say it. Everybody says artificial intelligence, machine learning is the next few of
the frontier. It's going to save the world.
It's a long way from being reliable.
Absolutely.
And you shouldn't rely on it for stuff like putting people in jail. Bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Bad idea. All right. I'm going to do a commercial, and then we're going to go do a little visit to iCandy Lab. I almost said go get drunk, but that's coming.
Yeah. We're going to get our drink on soon.
Our producers wisely decided to put that later in the show with the Tiki Bar Lab. But first, a word from Rocket Mortgage. Are you buying a house? This is a good time, except for one thing. Well, it's a good time because Rocket Mortgage exists. Quicken Loans, the greatest, best lender in the country, number one in customer satisfaction, 8 years running, according to J.D. Power, biggest lender in the country. Quicken Loans has done something we love called Rocket Mortgage. It's an entirely online mortgage approval process. But this is an example of how a company that pays attention to the customers can really make a difference. See, I think a lot of mortgage companies, they're worried about numbers. They're worried about, you know, profit. They're not worried about the customer experience. Rocket Mortgage noticed that one of the problems now with house hunting is that interest rates are going up. That hasn't been that way in a while. You just bought a house a couple of years ago. You didn't have to worry about this because interest rates were sort of flat for several years. But now if you're home hunting, it's very anxious because if you take 2 months, the interest rates could have pegged up. That could cost you tens of thousands of dollars.
They expect them to go up a couple of times more before the
end
of the year.
So what they did, this is so great. So there's two steps here. First of all, the original thing that we've always talked about with Rocket Mortgage, they call this now the power buying process. Quicken Loans verifies your income, assets, and credit. They do it. You don't have to go to the attic. You don't have to get any paperwork. You don't have to fill out applications. You just do it all on your phone. Answer a few simple questions. Within 24 hours, they'll give you step one, verified approval. Now, this is really good because if you have verified approval, that basically means you're a cash buyer.
That's awesome.
The seller says, oh, there's no contingency on me getting the loan. You got it. So the seller's that really helps move you to the front of the line. Once you're verified, though, this is how they take the anxiety out of it. You qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They lock up your rate for 3 months. It cannot go up for 90 days. Nice. So you have 3 months to find a house, and you don't have that anxiety. Are the rates going to go up? Because you don't want to be rushed into this. This is the most important purchase you'll ever make. You want to get the right house. You don't want to say, we got to take this one because the rates are going to go up next month. You want to be able to really take your time. 90 days. If rates go down, by the way, your rate goes down. It's just that they won't go up. So you win either way. Yeah. RocketMortgage.com/NSS. That's the place to go. RocketMortgage.com/NSS. We've talked to so many of our listeners and viewers many times in the studio audience who've used Rocket Mortgage and couldn't be happier. You will love it too. RocketMortgage.com/NSS. Okay, here's the legalese. Rate Shield approval is only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender. Actually, that's important.
Yes.
Licensed in all 50 states, of course. And MLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. Here's all you have to remember. RocketMortgage.com/NSS. And we thank them for their support of the new Screensavers. And we thank you for supporting them for supporting the new Screensavers. All right, are you ready? We're going to go to, did he say Philadelphia? I think he did. Right now, joining us, co-founder and CEO of Augment TV, iCandy Labs, Robin Show-Moser is on the line with us. Hello, Robin.
How's it going, Robin?
Hi there. Hi, Jason. Hi, Leo.
I half expect you to jump out of the TV because that's kind of...
No, not yet.
Okay.
All
right.
Someday soon, right? So let's talk with the tech. This is... I can't remember a time that we've seen augmented reality, of course, but I've never seen it on TV, like watching TV and then seeing it. Tell us how this works.
Yeah, so we have developed a technology that is able to pick up the TV and what you're watching, and then it will show you augmented reality content that is matching to whatever you see on TV.
So does it have to be live?
No. It works with any type of videos. It could be either pre-produced or it could be live.
Oh.
So in this case, you see there are bubbles coming out of the TV screen and the fishes, they're becoming real. So they are literally swimming inside your living room so you can move around.
Whoa! That's cool!
Yeah.
Now, how does it... Is there a hidden signal in the video that you're...
Uh-oh. Not at all, because of course that's Whoa. One of the approaches so far to put something into the audio or video feed,
right.
That then a technology would pick up, but not the human senses. But we rely completely on a different technology. It's a computer vision technology where we process the video and then we know what you're watching.
So it recognizes it.
Yeah, it recognizes. So you have now this documentary about the most expensive train of the world. You can hit the buy now button, for example, to just purchase a ticket right from the TV screen while watching the documentary.
All right, now we're seeing why people might want to do this. Mm-hmm. Here's information about a football match.
Yeah, so you have an augmented interface, so you can see the formation on the bottom in front of you. You could put that onto your coffee table if you want. You see all the statistics to the left and to the right. You can swipe through, get in-depth statistics on the match, and if you saw the goal now and you want to rewatch it, above that there's a replay function where you can just see the same, have a replay overlay of the scene. Or if you're into football, which is a big thing, I think here, you can even get your fantasy football stats.
Oh.
That's really cool, adding that extra context. And what I find so fascinating about this, interesting from like a behind-the-scenes standpoint, is like you're already watching something heavily produced on the screen, and then you're watching this live interactive element that's, I imagine, heavily produced behind the scenes in order to, you know, replicate the players on the field. How does that all work in real time to get that information on the screen?
So if we're talking about this sports case that you're just seeing, it's a we provide some templates that then will be fed by a data feed. We have some partnerships with sport data provider, and they would feed live into our templates. So this would be an e-commerce example. You have a commercial, you can hit the buy now, the book test drive now button, and then you would be able to tap into the Facebook Messenger, and that would, for example, send a message to the next dealership, that's the next mini dealer, and you can make an appointment for test drive. So it's all about making interactive experiences around TV and video. So you hit the book test drive button, if you log in with Facebook, and then it will send a message to the next next dealership. Right.
So what is the user experience like? Cool. Do I have to hold a phone up, or what am I doing?
Yeah, so you would potentially download the app. So right now we launched first time in the U.S. Last week with Nickelodeon. So in that case, the people would download the Nickelodeon Screens Up app, where our technology was incorporated. And then the moment you can have an augmented reality experience, you just start the app, point it towards the TV, and then what happens is that all of a sudden, green slime is coming out of the TV, as you're just going to see in a couple of seconds.
Oh, there it is, yeah.
Or the blimp is coming out into the living room, and you have like an amazing interactive experience. You could play along. There was a basketball game where people could just play along with a TV show. So this is, this is what happened. So especially for kids are very into this kind of stuff, I guess.
Yeah, I could see kids doing it more than maybe adults, because after a while, I'm going to get tired of holding the phone up or holding... I guess eventually maybe you'd put these in glasses.
Exactly.
Right?
Have some sort of a goggle interface for it.
Yeah, that's right. It's just that for now, I mean, we've seen it with VR. The hardware hurdle is just too high at this point. So we leverage the infrastructure that is already in billions of people's households. So like TV, everyone has a TV. Everyone has a smartphone or tablet at home. So why not use that technology rather than relying on hardware to become available sometime in the future.
Well, and it's not like now is the wrong time to do that either. Apple, Google, they've both, and I'm sure you know other companies have worked heavily in this. But from an OS level standpoint, they've both integrated AR their platform.
Are you using ARKit and AR Core?
Yeah, so we have developed our own, so to speak, homegrown AR technology, which works even on devices that are not supported by ARKit and AR Core. So everything that has been sold over the last 5 years. But we also implement AR Core and AR Kit, which allow us amazing experiences. So I think everyone's seen the WWDC keynote on ARKit 2, which brings amazing multiplayer functionalities, and we're about to incorporate that too. A multiplayer experience while watching a TV show. So, I mean, imagine the family's watching TV, and then you get a different experience than your daughter, and you have a personalized experience.
That's
based on
really
that.
Cool.
This is actually a nice, I think, also demo. We incorporate like live positioning data. So when you're watching a match, we get the real-time positioning of every player and the ball, for example. So you could basically really follow all the whole game on your coffee table in augmented reality.
I think that's kind of cool because
really cool.
You're then seeing more detail about what's going on than what you can see on the TV screen. You started this in you guys are out of Munich. You started this in Germany originally. What kind of acceptance? How's it been used, and what are people's reactions to this?
So we launched in Germany last year on a TV station called ProSieben. It's the second largest network in Europe for a documentary format. And we had a 1 week event. So every evening between 7 and 8 p.m., you could join the augmented reality experience through that documentary. And we had really amazing results. So we had, for this 1 week event, we had 360,000 downloads for the application. We know that every user was at least returning for a second time on average. So this people are really open to this, and we were ranked number one in the overall app store, which shows that everyone is really open to this new technology, and they really embrace it. So I think we're really on a good track here. Nickelodeon in the US showed us as well that Also, kids are very open to this kind of technology. And I think the era of consuming video as a one-way medium is now at a point of at an inflection point where it's about creating more interactive experiences, because that video experience hasn't changed over the last decades, where it's just one way.
Yeah, I think the passive viewing experience where you get extra added content is a really neat application here. I think the thing that more that excites me a little bit more is this kind of idea of engaging with the TV content like in a game show format.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun? You could play the game.
Yeah, like or a quiz show of sorts, right, where you have you have the questions being presented on the screen.
And what I
you
like,
have the ability to select your answers and compete against other people watching the same show.
It doesn't take up screens time.
Yes.
Yeah. I've seen things where it, you know, slides over and it takes up.
Totally.
But I want to see the full screen of the game.
Yeah.
So this is nice because it's outside the screen. I also imagine advertisers are thrilled about this because it makes ads interactive.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, it brings transparency to the whole TV advertising model, because right now it's you usually pay per view or CPM. And I think this kind of metrics are sort of outdated. We bring transparency. And I mean, imagine how great it would be for a brand paying like for 20 seconds or 30 seconds TV commercial on air, but then have the user engaged for minutes by providing that kind of mini game, for example. Yeah. You know, the game, the mini car example. Imagine the car is popping out and you can drive around with it in your living room or scale it to real size and experience the interior. I mean, all that kind of interactive experiences are now possible through our technology.
Wow. The trick is getting people to install the app. And so I can understand why the first thing you're going to do is big flagship events with documentaries or games or whatever, so that you can get people to install the app. Drive now it's installed. You can easily put up on the ad, oh, by the way, fire it up because we're going to show you something pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the next step for us would be to provide it provide an SDK. It's going to be a Unity plugin where we then reach out to a huge developer community that is able to create that kind of experiences themselves.
Oh, so it's not just you with an SDK. Anybody can do it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
that was
so
the first
cool.
step. It's exactly as you said it. It was the first step to reach out to through the media company, through our clients. But the next one will be really to bring out an SDK for Unity, so to make augmented reality accessible to everyone.
Wow. You're in two accelerator programs. Does that mean you're twice accelerated? I don't know. The German Accelerator Tech Winter Class 2018, Comcast NBC Universal's Lyft Labs. That sounds like you're busy. That's why you're in Philly.
That's why we're in Philly. And, you know, talking about cable providers, you know, it's, I mean, we're here in the 48th floor of the Comcast headquarters, have an amazing view. We have awesome internet. So,
I'll say nothing bad while you're on. I'll only say good things.
No, it's okay. So it's their corporate accelerator program, which is operated by Techstars. It's powered by Techstars.
Oh, Techstars is great. Yeah,
it's a Texas program, and it's really it's an awesome experience. We have great access to all the Comcast people, and they're really supportive about this. And so we're really looking forward to working on projects together. And the next one, the one that you mentioned earlier, is a German tech accelerator based in the Silicon Valley. So it's a program run by the government, by the German government. It helps companies from Germany to grow to the U.S. And that's a really also awesome experience or opportunity, because I think for this kind of SDK tech platform play, it's the best place to be.
It's kind of interesting because in the early days of cable, I don't know if you remember this, they did experiments with interactive television. They tried it in Florida. They set it up. And the problem is you have to have two-way cables. You have to have a way to get the data to the cable company and then back. And then mostly people bought stamps. It wasn't very compelling. But now, because everybody has a smartphone with an always-on internet connection, you've got a two-way connection without modifying the cable at all. I think this is really, really fascinating. I mean, you've maybe licked this problem that's been something the cable companies have wanted to do for decades. I bet you Comcast is very, very interested.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I mean, this
is
also probably, hopefully, one of the reasons why we're here. So.
Yeah, I would bet. If people want to know more, they can go to augment.tv. Is that right?
Right. Yes. I'm just going to hold this into... Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a website. This is Augmented. It's our product.
Robin's got it, man. He's getting all... He knows how to market now. AUGMEN.TV.
There we go.
Yeah.
Right on. And I love it that you have an SDK. That's really interesting. Yeah,
it's coming soon. We're partnering up with a couple of selected first integrators, but it's coming soon, so stay tuned. We have a newsletter that you can just subscribe to, and then we will let you know as soon as we're ready to ship.
Very great. Robin, congratulations. This looks cool. I can't wait
Thank
to play
you.
With it. Yeah.
Robin.
Robin Schomoser, he is co-founder and CEO of iCandy Lab and Augment TV. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.
It's great to talk to you. Wow.
Yeah.
My only,
cool.
You know, I mean, of course you're going to get tired doing this. But I see for maybe a commercial and then you start playing a game.
Right.
But eventually, everybody agrees, right? It's got to be here.
At some point, the glasses that we normally wear will have, you know, that Terminator view where things augment everything.
Yeah,
right?
And you'll just be
sitting far enough down the line that happens, right?
I think it's a few years off. I mean, they're smart. They'll be in position in a few years because you got to solve the battery issue.
Yeah.
The CPU's got to be portable. It can't look like Google Glass or the visors. It has to look kind of like
normal
spectacles. Yep. But so maybe it's 5 or 10 years. It's certainly within 10 years. Your kids will be doing it.
I hope so. I mean, I hope to have the chance to look at it.
I think we'll be doing it. I'll be in the home. But I'll be doing it. It'll be great. When I'm in the home, I'll get to, you know, imagine I'm somewhere I'm not.
You'll have all your friends on the pictures.
Look! Yeah. There's slime coming out of the TV. Grandpa, take off your glasses. Before we join Dr. Don Bombay and the Tiki Tron team for some cocktails, we want to see a little video we made. This is so cool. Now, you remember the DARPA Grand Challenge, right? It was a challenge to see if autonomous vehicles, could navigate the road. And at first, they just 100
silly.
Feet, and they go, boom.
It was hilarious.
But it didn't take long before they, and now we're sitting in self-driving cars all the time.
Right.
Then it was robots, and at first, they'd climb up the stairs and fall off backwards. Now they're invading our homes. Well, the next great frontier, I think, of autonomous robotics is making cocktails. Jamie Zawinski, JWZ, he's a co-founder of Mozilla and Netscape, a legend in the business. Some years ago, bought a club in San Francisco called the DNA Lounge.
Yes, I've been there many times.
And he has now, this is his fifth annual Cocktail Robotics Grand Challenge at the DNA Lounge. Watch.
Steve, the bartending robot. This is our V1 hardware. This is our V2 hardware. These are peristaltic pumps and particle photons to control them. And over here we have the web interface. It's backed by Firebase, which stores all of our recipes and all of our bottles in the bottle setup. And it can go through and automatically figure out what recipes are possible with the current bottle setup. And then on the web UI, you click on what you want to drink, and it sends the right commands to the right boards, and it makes you a drink.
This robot is called Penguin Guy Cool 92, and it's a mechanical tentacle that squirts drinks out of the tip. 3D printed segments, and then there's stepper motors with drive wheels on them to control the motion, and a servo pinch valves for fluid control.
Inebriate is our robot that tries to do all the stuff you would have in a bar. We've got 30 different ingredients. The way we dispense is everything is pressurized. We've got all these valves, one valve for alcohol. Because the tank is pressurized, since we open a valve, it dispenses. We then weigh how much has come out on this little platform. The platform is actually sucking the cup down to it using a vacuum pump. It keeps it from falling around when we're doing stuff like dispensing ice. At the very end, in a second, you're going to see it go ahead and recalibrate itself against the end of the line, and then do what we call slam stir. We use a pneumatic piston, and then we stir it using a quadcopter motor. Vanessa.
All right. Thank you. So here we have the Dude Imbibes. This is a Big Lebowski-themed cocktail robot. You get to have a conversation with the Dude. It's based on ChatScript, which is this incredible open-source chat engine, which lets you create chatbots. So you create scripts with follies and gambits and topics, and it tries to go through them and have a conversation with you. And probably the dude will make you a white Russian. Then we have the shocking robot, where people are being shocked right now. You grab one of these probes, you push the button, and as long as you're pushing the button, you're getting a shot and you're being shocked.
So my name is Catherine, and my robot is called the Tea Engine. It is based on a 1920s coffee percolator set. You can see it. It's brewing another batch of tea right now. So I hacked into it, and I attached it to this rotary phone dial. There's an Arduino microcontroller inside of the box, which actually reads the pulses from the dial. And you can dial 4 for tea with ginger liqueur, 6 for tea with peach liqueur, or 8 for tea with ginger and peach liqueur together. Or if you don't want to drink the alcohol and you just want a cup of tea, that would be 2 for tea.
Yeah, there you go. This is Whiskey Ball. It's based on the concept of the better you perform at an arcade game, the better the drink you should get. If you got 0 points, you would get a participation punch. If you got 150, you would get Manhattan. But you got 80, so you can get an old-fashioned if you want.
This is the blaster. So our victim is standing here in the splash zone, in the right location. We've told her to stand. And now I'm going to unleash the robot. And when I do, it's going to find her face, move to align itself with it, and then fire at it. Are you ready? All right, fire. It's tequila.
That was really cool. Thanks to Jamie Wazowinski and the DNA Lounge for letting us go to that competition. This year, that weird worm thing won.
Yeah.
But we thought that was too gross to bring in here.
A little gross. Yeah.
So instead, we have the second place finisher, although you have entered many times and
many won. Many times before.
Many times. Dr. Bombay is here, along with Kiki Jewell, who is the engineer of the Tiki Bar, Tiki Bot. And Catherine is also here, Mrs. Bombay. And we are this is it. This is it. This is the Tiki Tron, the world's only robot that serves tiki cocktails.
As far as we know, yes.
As far as we know, ever. And you came in second this time.
We actually came in third.
Third.
We usually dance between first, second, and third, depending on who's competing.
This is not your first rodeo, so to speak. You had the Cosmobot.
Our first robot was called the Cosmobot.
Let me guess, Cosmos.
Yes. It was a rocket ship-shaped robot that launches cosmic cocktails out of the rocket nozzle.
Oh, that's cool. There it is.
Yeah, in fact, that's it right there.
And we saw Catherine with her T-Bot.
T-Engine.
T-Engine.
Yeah.
I get it. It's like the inference engine.
It's a very steampunk.
Very steampunk feeling T-Engine.
So cool.
Yeah.
And Catherine, you said it was a little difficult for the younger folks to figure out what that dial was for.
Yeah. So my rule of thumb is that basically anybody who looks younger than me, I sort of coach them in the operation of the rotary dial.
Have you ever
this
seen
was once a phone.
Rotary yeah.
phone? And now it is something very different.
Well, it's mostly, you know, it's they understand they can put their finger in and that it turns, but getting it all the way around to the silver stop and letting go is sort of a lost.
Do they ever just think it's a button and just like push? Into
no,
the hole?
I mean most.
Okay,
it's,
good.
They and figure I can't that out presume too. Because it's not 100% of the time, but it is definitely
Where would you see one of those except for maybe dial M for murder? Or something.
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly. So it is an interesting. I was not expecting it when I used a rotary dial that it would be such a clear marker between different ages and different generations.
And Catherine, you're responsible for the look and feel of the tiki.
So I styled myself the interaction designer for the Tiki Tron, and it. You know, we very much, so both my husband and I are very much into kind of tiki culture and tiki bars.
Yeah.
Obviously. So I wanted something that was beautiful and fun to use and really exciting. And so it really has been a team effort, but the exact operation of how you select your drink was kind of my idea. So.
And the tiki hut and the... Now, you told me we have to make Dr. Bombay, we have to make a sacrifice before we do this.
Yes.
Yes.
So part of the fun of the interaction with this device, unlike everyone else in the world who are so used to using cell phones and pushing buttons on the cell phones to get things done, you have to make a sacrifice. And that means you choose one of these idols.
Oh.
This.
That's a
seahorse. Each idol represents a different drink. In this case, it's the Mai Tai.
Oh, thankfully you put labels.
I thought that
on.
Was a price sticker.
No. The little red ink indicates the level of dangerousness of the drink.
Go ahead, Jason. Pick something really dangerous.
I won't know until I pull it out. The scarier it is, the more dangerous.
I pull the dangerous ones in the treasure chest. The non-alcoholic ones are over there.
I'm going to go for the tallest one.
The tallest.
There you go. Good choice.
Okay, that one is
the Pina Colada.
All right. Okay. Now, for this, we have to bring in the engineer.
Yes,
Kiki is here. Kiki Jewell is the designer of the hardware and the software. Mm-hmm. Here's, I'm going to get in between you and Kiki, and you're going to give us a little demo of what is in. By the way, there's a lot of stuff behind here. What is involved?
Don't look behind the green curtain.
Is it a Raspberry Pi running this?
It is a Raspberry Pi. There are four motor hats that are on the Raspberry Pi. Each motor hat can control four motors.
Okay.
So for the 12 pumps, the 12 ingredients, we have three of those control those.
So Mrs. Bombay is revealing the hood. Okay, so there's four motors.
Four motor hats, and there's 12 motors there.
Each hat can control three different.
Four. And the fourth one is to control the lighting effects.
Oh, wow.
And the smoke effects.
And the smoke, of course. So what do you program this in?
So it's programmed in Python on a Raspberry Pi.
Yep. And is it all ready to?
It's all ready to go.
How do we
it's ready
tell
for my sacrifice?
How does his sacrifice work? What do we do next?
Well, when the lava's hot, which if you look carefully at the volcano,
it seems to be steaming.
I'm a little scared.
It's ready to go.
Yep. All right. Yep.
Feet first, you'll need to make a prayer and then put it into
bow down to the tiki god.
Okay, that's enough. And then you throw it in.
Wait a minute, something's happening back here. Oh my god, you killed it!
Yes! All right.
And everyone dances.
This is awesome.
Dance for your drink. Dance!
Woo! So there's,
and it's,
there's
it's actively
rummers and
yeah.
Oh, it's making it.
Look inside.
It's doing it right now.
How did it know what to do?
Well, the tiki god knows your inner desire.
No, really? How did it know? is it doing face recognition?
Well, do you want to geek out a minute?
Yeah.
So do you want to go? Do you want to try and figure it out, or do you want to?
Oh, is it a little RFID chip? Look at that. Look at that. There's a little RFID chip in the base of it.
How did you guys not win first place?
This is so
seriously. This is awesome.
So you're actually. There's an RFID reader in there?
Yep, there's an RFID reader in the back.
So once this enters in...
Do you want the geek tour back here?
Yeah, let's go back, kids.
So the Raspberry Pi is in here. We have to protect it from liquids, right?
Yeah, so you got a rubber keyboard, and it's in a Tupperware.
Yeah, this is a waterproof keyboard.
That's the nicest Raspberry Pi case ever.
Thank you. So this controls all the pumps. We have that connected to the pumps.
Okay.
The DB9 connects to the butt.
Totally should have won this. This is amazing.
The only volcano with a DB9 in its butt. All the connectors are different, so that if anybody's setting it up, that they won't set it up wrong.
Oh, good. You can't plug it in wrong. That's important.
That it's easy to set up.
So you won't always be around to help.
Right. I mean, it's.
I put the seahorse in?
Sure. Wait, let's get it.
Switch out cut,
I think
fresh
I need
cups.
To accept oh, my...
First, you got to taste yours.
First, you have to stir this. Okay. There you go, sir.
So, there's quite an array of beverages.
Thank you very much.
Good.
That has to be connected properly, too. Otherwise, you won't make the right drink.
That's right. Yeah. They're all labeled in there, so when we put the tubing in, and there's actually lights in the back that light up.
I'm going to
see which one lights up in the back.
This is really amazing.
It's really good.
Now, this is a seahorse, so this is a mild...
I'm a believer.
This is a family-friendly beverage. Is that
right? No. This is one of the most popular tiki drinks ever made called the Mai Tai.
I love Mai Tais.
Invented in Oakland, California.
Rum, a little pineapple.
Right, so now you have to bow down to the great tiki god.
But while I'm bowing, Alex, you should show what's happening behind the scenes.
All right.
Because we want to see this actually. Can you see it drop in?
I don't know if you can see. Yeah, you can see that stuff. You can also see the code shows what it's doing on the screen.
Where's the RFID reader?
It's right here.
Oh, wow. It's tucked in. So cool. So it's close enough. If you get within a foot of that, it can read that. It's not NFC.
It's actually about an inch.
It's RFID.
Yeah, it's about an inch.
It's an inch.
You have to be
okay.
pretty close.
So is it possible to miss?
You can turn
very,
upside down.
Very rarely it has, but it's we're pretty spot on now.
All right. Oh, great Tiki guy. I beseech you.
You're going to enjoy
your
drink.
The drink of the gods, the elixir of the gods. And I drop in the seahorse.
Volume.
And the song. Yeah, that song.
And there's the code running on the Raspberry Pi. Look at that. It identifies what it's going to go in.
A really nice cup, too. A really nice glass.
Wow, that's so cool. That is really amazing. A little Curacao, orange juice, simple syrup. And those measurements, 0.22, is that 0.22?
How do you do this?
Ounces. It's in ounces?
It's in ounces.
Oh,
and
everything
is very, very calibrated.
I really wanted
the recipes that Dr. Bombay has given me are very
So, Dr.
accurate.
Bombay, you have crafted these recipes from an old family tradition.
Yes.
Did it put ice in there, too?
No, it doesn't put the ice in.
It comes with ice. Okay.
Yes. Well, it comes with
ice. And there you go, sir.
Thank you.
A proper
and a lovely,
tiki cocktail.
By the way, a really beautiful tiki.
And
look, it's frosty.
Yeah.
These are nice. It's perfect. It's the perfect Mai Tai. How did you research this?
Well,
many iterations.
Over many long nights.
Absolutely correct. We had to figure out how to convert the standard pour that a bartender does,
right.
like number of seconds of pour, and converting it into milliseconds of timing of the valve mm-hmm. with the peristaltic pumps.
Holy cow. Wait a minute. Did you say peristaltic pumps?
Yes. Flip that lid. They're right there.
So the motor hats on the Raspberry Pi mm-hmm. control these peristaltic pumps.
Yes.
Yep.
Now, I only know peristalsis from biology. Mm-hmm. It's your intestinal squeezing.
It's the same concept.
Yes.
So the idea is that inside those pumps, there's three wheels that squeeze the tube and sucks the liquids through. So the liquids never come in contact with anything except the tube itself.
Oh, very interesting.
So it's kept
clean. Flexible
it's
tubes.
Kept
flexible tubes. So it's constantly running to bring the liquid across, and there's no contamination.
Come on, Jerry. I know you want to taste one of these. Should we get Jerry to throw in a...
Sure.
Might as well. Pick your...
Pick
your
ready to go.
We happen to have another one. Let's try this one here.
So,
These are the non-alcoholic ones, and these are the alcoholic ones.
Yeah, there's a menu if you want to look at the menu, and then...
So this is our special drink.
Oh, yeah, Trader Vic's
Grog. Trader Vic Grog is my second favorite drink.
Oh,
that's my favorite.
It requires a secret ingredient, which I'll add later.
Okay. Actually, I have a question.
Wait, sorry.
No.
Your question?
No. Continue.
Okay.
I don't want to interrupt.
Tiki Trunk.
It's true.
You are amazing. Legend. You make wonderful drinks.
A legend in San Francisco. He was a one-legged bartender.
Yeah.
Whoa.
We have a different scream for every drink.
Oh, every drink has a different scream.
Yes.
Are those screams Dr. Bombay's voice?
We have a crew of people that helped out.
Look at that.
Lots of volunteers.
Look at that. So you're using the Adafruit for the hats, the Adafruit DC and stepper motor hats.
Yep.
Those are the ones you prefer.
Yep.
Yes. Adafruit does some great stuff.
Almost everything's Adafruit.
Where did you get the peristaltic pumps?
Also Adafruit from Adafruit. Also?
Adafruit as well.
Yep.
Dang.
Yep.
Now, are any of the drinks outside of like standard bar drinks, like you design the drinks themselves?
Yeah, the kid drinks, all those kid drinks except for the non-alcoholic Scorpion that you provided us, were all designed by my daughter and her friends.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's great.
I have a mode, actually, where they can test new drinks where they can say a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and it'll
So does this live
ounce.
In your house when it's not
it
on
does.
The road traveling?
It does, and there are no health benefits to having
How old is
cocktail.
Your daughter?
She's 12.
What's her name?
Charlotte.
Charlotte. These are Charlotte-designed soft drinks.
Cheers.
Charlotte and friends. That actually is a fabulous Mai Tai.
Mm-hmm.
Can we all make one of these in our own home? Do you have the recipe for the
Code is online.
And the code is up on GitHub.
You can create your own variation of a drink
which
machine.
Which GitHub channel are you on?
KikiOrg. KikiOrg.
Org. On
GitHub is where my code is.
Okay. So you can read the code, and then actually you probably can deduce from that what you need, but do you have a list there as well? Yeah,
you can modify it.
It's a Raspberry Pi 3. Mm-hmm. Does it matter? You probably could use an older Raspberry Pi. It's not a lot of code, not a lot of
Yeah, it's written for a 3. Yeah, it's written for a 3.
12 peristaltic pumps. You need the motor hats. And, of course, Did you, Catherine, did you build this yourself?
So my dear friend Megan Lesh, who's an artist here in Petaluma, actually sculpted the tiki volcano body.
Petaluma is the place to go for stuff like
yeah.
that.
I'm kidding, it's true.
I don't know why.
Yep.
Yeah, but we fabricated the tiki hut.
Titanium works.
You know, added a lot of the details, and it's really what I love about this project is that it's very collaborative. It's a team effort.
It is. It's neat. There's a bunch of people. Yeah,
yeah. Definitely. So it's nice because some people, you know, everybody brings something different to the party, and they really can. We benefit from the skill set of a larger group of collaborators.
What a great project! This
is now,
fun.
So now you're around your home. There's not an event or anything like that. You're bored. You want a drink.
Yeah,
you go into the living room where the tiki bot is and just like fire it up and you're like, all right,
sometimes.
There's a
drink. I actually have a story. So the first time I've been working on this for a couple of months. Yeah, he already knows
many
the story.
Stories.
I've been working on this a couple of months and, you know, I was like, darn, you know, I've been working on this so much. I want to have a drink. So I went out and I bought all the ingredients and hooked it all up. And that was when we were making much bigger ones. We don't do that anymore
this
for
is
safety
not very
reasons.
Big. I think for safety reasons. Yeah,
for safety reasons. So I was about halfway through my drink and my husband was on business and I was texting him and I was like, I can't tape. And then all of a sudden I look around, I'm like, I don't know where my drink went. And my daughter said, you're drunk. And I cut you off. She took my drink away. I couldn't find my drink. She was mad. I was gone.
Mom, you've had enough. I'm going to cut you off.
She pulled the power out of the Raspberry Pi and that was it. It was over.
This is awesome. Well, if you can't code, you probably had too much tiki juice. This is really cool. This is, once again, the Tiki Bot.
Tiki Tron.
Tiki Tron.
Drink Bot.
From Dr. Drink Bot, from Dr. Bombay, his wife.
Maybe we should cut you off here.
It's a little stronger than I thought, but it's very good. Very good. And it really is fun. What a party.
Yeah.
What a party.
Awesome
Have you
stuff.
Had parties with this?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Constantly. All right. Well, congratulations. I think you've really, you know what, I would say you were robbed. But I think you deserve, you won our hearts. Let's put it that way. Really, really nice. Thank you, Kiki. Thank you, Dr. Bombay, Kiki Jewel. Thank you, Catherine. And I say let's sacrifice some more.
Let's go do it.
Yeah. Tiki God. It's wonderful. Jason, I got some bad news.
What's that?
We got to review that Acer Chromebook.
It's going to be so
right.
much fun. Let's
I'll
do
see
it
y'all
after
later.
This.
Bye-bye. Bye. Let's walk
you guys.
Thank you. Oh, my. And Sebastian in his special house that he lives in there. All right.
Look, Leo, if we've got to review a Chrome tablet, we might as well have a drink before we do it. That's what's going to make this review just a little bit more bearable.
You know what I'm doing this evening?
What's that?
Unfortunately, I made a mistake of letting Lisa play with my new i9 Super Hot MacBook Pro.
Oh, right. Yes.
Last
just
night,
got that.
She said, I want to try it. I could give me a login. So I did. At first, you know, she was downloading stuff. She said, it's very hot. I said, well, give it a little. It cooled off. She fell in love with it. So now we're going to the Apple store to purchase another one. So maybe I should have a couple more of these. Then I won't be able to drive.
Well, you could buy this for a third of the cost or
a fifth
of the cost, whatever you like. So this is the Acer Chromebook Tab 10. And, you know, on its surface, I think you showed this off very briefly on the show.
Yeah, we had just gotten it,
ago.
So I wanted to show people we had it, and I told them that you were going to review it. So
yeah, so this is a Chromebook, obviously. It's a tablet-focused Chromebook, and it's the first one in the tablet format. My opinion on Chrome OS tablets and Android tablets as of late is it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to buy an Android tablet when you can buy a Chromebook and get the Android apps integrated with it. It's like you get the best of both worlds.
I agree.
Right?
And that was kind of the mistake Google made with the Tab C. It didn't really satisfy. It had all the hardware,
right?
But they didn't have the software,
right? It had just the Pixel C is what you're talking
Pixel
about, right?
Pixel C, yeah.
Yeah, it only had the Android OS.
Right.
It didn't have the Chrome OS.
And there wasn't
on there.
A lot of Android stuff for the tablet,
right?
It was frustrating.
And I'm not entirely sure that there still is even at this point a whole lot of stuff for a tablet on Android. But at least with Chrome OS running and the support for Android, you get the best of both worlds.
Yes.
You get the kind of the benefits of having a computer OS for multitasking, right. You know, for being productive and that sort of stuff, but also all of those apps from Android. So I was looking forward to this. The strange thing about this was that it was only offered at first for schools.
Yeah,
it was really targeted at K through 12.
I almost understand that because it isn't something that maybe the public will want.
Right.
But maybe if a kid is forced to use it, that would be okay.
Yeah, they don't have a whole lot of choice,
they have
right?
no choice.
Yeah. It's $330, and very recently in the past few
That's
days,
a
it
lot.
Was opened up for everyone.
Oh, so now everybody can get
it. If you want, you can buy one of these.
This is what the same base level iPad costs is $330.
Yeah, it's very similar cost. And I guess when you compare it to the iPad, then I guess it makes sense in my head. In using this on a daily basis, however, I've been trying to use it for my shows here.
You're comparing it to a Pixel Book.
Yeah, and I'm coming from like the top of the line, and that's the challenge.
Yeah.
But my biggest complaint with this was because it's a tablet-only device.
No keyboard.
Yeah. You're stuck doing, you know, all of your entry on a keyboard that
look
takes
at the
up
size
the majority of the screen.
It's the half the screen.
And so, depending on the app that you're using, you end up with this tiny sliver of usable space and a keyboard. And I don't know, in daily use, it just got to be a real hindrance. It really
slows
you down.
Could you add a keyboard? I mean, could you buy a keyboard?
Absolutely. You could buy a keyboard, and they actually make Bluetooth keyboards that fit this. So, you know, that's extra cost that you're going to have to throw onto there.
Right.
And, you know, when you're talking about like a Pixel Book, obviously
you could
this
get
is a different
Chromebook
scale,
for this
you could
price.
Tabletize that.
Acer makes Chromebooks at $330. You could get one with a keyboard for that price.
Right. So here that would be extra, right? But at least I suppose you have the option. But just real quick, I will say I like the display. It's a 9.7-inch 2048 by 1536 LED backlit display.
That's very
high. It's got nice sharp text on the screen. You can go super small with the fonts if you really want to. Smaller than my eyes could really be comfortable with. 4 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage. There's an easy to access micro SD card slot up at the top. So you don't have to like pop open a slide. You just pop it in there. It's almost like a removable drive.
Micro SD now at 256 gigs.
Oh, yeah.
For under $100. So you could add significant storage if you needed it.
Absolutely.
That's something the iPad cannot do.
Right. Oh, you can, and you can just swap it on the fly. With this case, you can't quite do it. It's a little covered up there. But if it wasn't in the case, you could definitely do it. It's in that little port. The OP1, which is a Google-branded system on chip by Rockchip, same one that's in the Samsung Chromebook Plus. And
what is that? I never heard of that chip.
Yeah, and I don't know a whole lot about it, but I do know from a performance standpoint, I was running into issues of multitasking on this. And, you know, I have to.
It's a Google-designed system on a chip. It's not the most powerful.
No, definitely not the most powerful. However, the battery life on this, 8860 milliamp hours of battery. They say up to 9 hours, and battery was awesome on this thing. So if that system on a chip is making, you know, is pulling from the battery in limited sort of way because it's not as powerful, maybe that's a good trade-off for something like school. This is going to get you through a full day's worth of school.
All right, that's good.
So that's kind of a positive there. It does have stylus support. So there's an
integrated stylus. And it has a stylus built in.
You pull it out.
Nice.
And as you saw on the screen, when I pull it out, you get this.
You see that. Oh,
you get the pop-up that allows
Pixel
you to
Book
jump right
too,
into.
Though, right?
Pixelbook has the pen support, but it doesn't mount anywhere into the device, you know. Right. This actually does. This is a Wacom EMR electromagnetic resistance pen, and it actually works. Here, I'm going to create a note. It jumps right into keep. And waiting, a little bit of lag.
Look at that lag.
You get a little bit of the lag.
Oh, sometimes we're seeing that now.
Things happen, and you're just kind of
so
stuck
thinking,
waiting.
Working.
So I'm going to go ahead and create a note then, creating a thumbnail.
Working.
Working.
Is that, do you think, the slow storage?
We'll just jump right into this any day
now. That's ridiculous.
And, you know, sometimes it would be super fast for doing things. Sometimes I would get this, and that was kind of the problem. I never knew what I was going to get. If I had
it's
the screen
still
off.
Still thinking.
Yeah, we're just going to abort
the screen turned itself off before it finished.
I turned the screen off.
Oh, okay.
Because while the screen is off, I can pull out the stylus, and it should pop up
there.
An easy-to-access note, right? And then if I wanted to unlock, I could do it from there. But
so that seems like a software flaw as opposed to a speed issue. I don't know.
But I like
Does
the
it keep up with your drawing? Is it pretty?
Yeah, absolutely. Here, I'm going to draw a picture of Leo.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true to life.
Yeah. There we go. Okay, see?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing what you can do with the stylus on this thing?
Incredible.
That's Leo. yeah, I mean, you know, it's got the stylus support. I'm not a huge user of stylus on devices. I've come to terms with that over the years. But it's nice to have it and in an education-focused tablet.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Students might want it, yeah.
The fact that you can pull it out while it's locked and get right to jotting things down, I think that's probably as usable as anything else, you know, when you're in a school environment.
Nice.
But, you know, outside of that, I'm not sure. I feel like from a productivity standpoint, it really slowed me down using this. And I'm really happy to go back to the Pixelbook and really just anything with a keyboard. The on-screen keyboard and being locked into that with all of my apps and kind of the confusion between, is this a Chrome app or is it an Android app? You know, when I was doing Google Sheets and Google Docs, I have both of them installed on there because they both run just a little bit differently with a touch interface. And there's just enough kind of confusing layers to make it so that you're not moving as comfortably on this.
I'll be honest,
others.
I'm baffled by this product. You can get an Acer Chromebook 15-inch for less that's more powerful, more useful, has a keyboard. I don't get what this... This seems almost a scam. I mean, a school that buys this is getting ripped off.
I wonder about that, too. Google has said on the software side of things that they have plans by the end of the year to do more updates to Chrome OS to make it work better on a tablet form factor. So cross your fingers. Maybe this will get more usable over time. Right now, I feel like there's just some rough edges.
This has to be
as far
not,
as that's concerned.
A do not buy under any circumstances.
Yeah, I'd say at the very least, wait for the Chrome OS update to happen because that might open it up and suddenly it might make more sense. But right now, it's just really hard to use.
At that price point, look at the iPad. The base model iPad is the same price.
And it's hard to opt for this when they're in the same price
category. There's so much software for it. And then, of course, if you want a Chromebook, get a Chromebook for less.
Yeah.
It does more.
Yeah.
With a keyboard.
It's amazing how much the keyboard makes a difference, but it really does. Yeah.
I actually used Samsung's Chromebook Plus, which is based on the same system on a chip, and I did not find... That's what you use right now, Abby, right? The Chromebook Plus. I did not find it to be slow or laggy at all. So I'm wondering if there's something going on with this particular platform, maybe the screen resolution or something,
that's
making
this
a little bit laggy, a little bit slow, very unimpressive.
I mean, I definitely changed the resolution to fit more onto the screen at once, so maybe in doing that I slowed things down.
It's your fault.
Even then, you would hope that it would keep up at that
rate. It's clearly not enough. So what do you say? Do not buy?
Do not buy for
now. Not buy.
Let's see what Google does with Chrome OS over the next couple of months for tablets, and then we'll decide.
It's a little disappointing. I mean, even Android wasn't really ready for tablets with the Pixel C. I do hope... Whoops.
Don't knock your drink
over. My tiki. I'd have to make another sacrifice to
the elixir of life.
No. I almost feel like the Chrome OS plus Android has some potential on a tablet, but this is not it. I want to see...
Yeah.
I would love to see a Pixel C running Chrome OS with the Android compatibility. That might be an interesting product, I think.
Yeah. But, I mean, even then you run into the screen real estate with the on-screen keyboard.
No, you need... The Pixel C had a built-in keyboard. Not a built-in, but it had an attached keyboard.
Well, that's true.
Right?
That you can
so they solved that. Right? You did that little twist.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Jason, for putting up with that for how long?
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks. It's all right.
You're ready to move away.
I'm ready to get back to my Pixelbook.
Jason talks about all this stuff on All About Android, by the way, each and every Tuesday on the network at
5 p.m.
Pacific with Florence Ion and Ron Richards. Mailbag's up in a bit, but first, Megan Maroney. We gave her... I feel like we gave people bad stuff this week. I feel guilty. I got the Tiki Bar. She got the Amazon Cloud Cam. Watch.
When Amazon released their branded security camera, the Cloud Cam, late last year, it did not meet with the greatest of reviews. The $120 1080p HD indoor security camera that works with Amazon Echo Voice Services and only with Amazon Echo Voice Services offers a live feed to your phone, motion notifications, and free storage of 24 hours worth of clips. While the camera proved to be simple to use, reliable, and affordable, it lived in the shadow of the Amazon Key service that offered customers a way to watch Amazon's delivery people enter your home and leave your packages inside your house rather than on your doorstep. Now, unless you personally experienced the problem of having stolen Amazon packages, I thought this idea seemed kind of insane. However, according to a recent survey, 23.4% of Amazon Prime members have experienced stolen packages, and 31% said they were willing to use the Amazon key in home delivery service. So I guess the old adage is true, fear sells. Of course, it didn't help that almost immediately after the release of the Cloud Cam, security researchers demonstrated a way, albeit not an easy way, for hackers to disable the Amazon camera and make it seem like nothing had changed while they gleefully helped themselves to your belongings. There were no reports of anyone exploiting this vulnerability because this assumed that whatever you have in your house is worth more to the courier than his or her job. Still, Amazon immediately fixed the flaw, but you probably didn't hear much about that since Amazon fixes pretty minor flaw that would have been very difficult to exploit doesn't make for a great headline. And so now that the Amazon camera hacked headlines have begun to fade and many of you might have picked up a Cloud Cam on a discount on Prime Day, I thought it was as good a time as any to try the camera in my own house, and here is what I thought. The camera was super easy to set up, reliable, and although not as fancy looking as its new adopted sister and our sponsor, the Ring Cam, it's perfectly fine looking as a device to keep in your home. It's only a little more than 4 inches in height, including the base, and it offers a 120-degree viewing angle. The audio and video quality is pretty great, even in the dark. But what really sets this camera apart from all the others I've tried is the ability to check in on the feed, not just on my phone, but on my Echo Show, like this. Show me my Cloud Cam.
Okay.
There it is. This way, I can continue to use my phone and use the Cloud Cam as a baby monitor when I leave my baby at home alone during the day. And I should mention that when I say baby, I mean my dog. I like to check in on him and make sure he's not sitting on the couch or inviting his friends over to play poker. You can also view the camera on a Fire TV, Fire tablet, or the Echo Spot. Now, like many security cameras, the price of the Cloud Camera doesn't include advanced features. You can store only 24 hours of footage for free at a time. And if you want more than that, you have to pay a subscription fee in one of three tiers: Basic, Extended, and Pro. The basic plan is free for the first 3 months and then only $6.99 after that. This plan includes a week of video clips, supports up to three cameras, and includes person recognition and the ability to ignore certain areas like a fish tank or certain foliage so you don't get notified every time the wind blows, literally. The extended plan includes everything the basic plan includes plus 2 weeks of video and supports up to five cameras, and that is $9.99 a month. For the professional plan, you can have up to 10 cameras and a month of video for $19.99 a month. My general rule of thumb with all smart devices is they must solve a problem that is not bigger than the problem that they create. So if you really require 10 security cameras in your home or office with the ability to store a month of recordings, then the extended plan seems like a pretty good deal. Amazon even offers discounts if you buy more than one camera. But if you only want to be able to check in on your dog during the day, then one camera with no subscription plan at all should work. So if you're already all in on the Amazon ecosystem and you have an Echo Show, a Fire TV, or Fire tablet, this is a great choice for a smart security camera. But just make sure to factor in that subscription price if you want more than 24 hours of video storage. And if you're not in a hurry, I would suggest using a service like Camel 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 or Slick Deals to set a price notification so you can wait until Amazon discounts the camera, which I found it does pretty often. I am Megan Maroney, and you can see me review all kinds of smart home products and show you how to set them up without going insane on Know How IoT every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific. I also host iOS Today on Tuesdays with Leo and Tech News Weekly on Thursdays with Jason Howell.
Does it seem like those drinks are getting stronger?
I don't know. Something tells me they're smoking right now. What's going on here?
Thank you, Megan. And boy, ooh, thank you to the Tiki Bar. I didn't realize this. I had a 5-4 skull drink. You're not even.
It's good. It's just a good drink. Love it.
Jason, you picked a good screensaver.
I know.
Can we
get like drink making robots on every screensavers that I'm on?
So much fun.
Just a little recommendation.
So much fun. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the mailbag. Woo-hoo. Here it comes, thanks to Jerry Wagley. What did you have?
Trader Vic's?
You had the Outrigger.
Is that what it was?
Yes. Yeah, the Outrigger. That's a five skull drink. Fortunately, I have a light beverage to quench my... What? It's also bubbling. Oh! So...
Oh, yeah, it is. Look at that.
Oh, yeah. Here you go. Here's our mailbag. Pick an email, any email.
All righty.
This is I Get Number One. Here you go. Hi, new screensavers. I have... this is for you.
Okay.
I can tell.
All right.
I can tell right away. I have a 3-year-old Oppo R7 Plus... and was looking for a way to extend its life as I'm an aged pensioner who can't really afford a new phone. The major problem is it was stuck on Android 5.5.1 with no security updates. I recently flashed it with Lineage OS 15.1.
Nice.
With Android, that's Android 8, I think, right? It's working great, except fingerprint sensor is not working yet. And now I'm getting security updates for the first time in 2 years. All right. My only query is, how safe are these custom ROMs? I assume they're okay, and I'm proceeding with that, although it'd be nice to get some reinsurance. Lineage is fine, right? Lineage is good.
Yeah, I would say it's always a good idea to be cautious when you're talking about your data on a phone, obviously, and then when you're talking about everything being passed through a third-party, you know, custom ROM developed by somebody. It's good to be cautious. I haven't really personally heard of... Any instance where these ROMs were actively caught in doing something like this?
I think enough people are using them.
Exactly.
And they're sophisticated users that if it were up to no good, you would know pretty quickly.
Yeah, somebody would catch it early on.
What is Lineage? Where does Lineage come from?
Lineage, if I'm not mistaken, it's been a while and I have not flashed it on my own, but this is kind of out of the Cyanogen ecosystem.
It used to be Cyanogen Mod and they renamed it. But it's good. I think it's the best of the bunch.
I mean, prior to Lineage, Cyanogen Mod was the custom ROM that with the most community support. And then, you know, Cyanogen's had a lot of recent history in the last couple
of
years.
There was a schism.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. And so it kind of transitioned into Lineage. As far as custom ROMs on Android are concerned, this is probably one of the most notably not unscrupulous systems out there.
And remember, anytime,
so many people use it.
Anytime you're running binary software that you can't see the operating system, you can't see the code, you're always trusting whoever developed it not to be
absolutely
malicious and not to have backdoors from the NSA or whatever.
Right.
That's just the nature of all software. But you're right to ask the question. And
yes.
I think of all of them, Lineage is the safest. So,
sorry, your drink is bubbling.
That's rather loud.
This is very loud. It's very aggressive. Yes, and, you know, there's also... is that your stomach? Are you hungry?
I think it's this guy here. I don't...
Yeah, that's what you call adventure time.
I was working in the lab late one night when all of a sudden I came across an eerie sight.
Man, where am I right now? I would say that there's always a lot of forums activity that you can check in on. There's community. This stuff's open source.
AWS. What is it? The best Android forum. The best place to go.
Oh, XDA.
XDA.
XDA is definitely one of the most
XDA-developers.com. And you'll find out all about it. And I have to say, there it is. That's where you get the information about how to do what he just did to his Oppo. I think if you have an older Android device, this is, your last resort if you want to get security updates.
Right.
Put a third-party ROM on it. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, because the alternative is that you continue running an outdated version of the OS and there's some sort of security, event that happens that exploits the fact that your phone is outdated. So... In that regard, you should be aware in all situations. But this is a way where you can take that into your own hands. Lineage is a good direction to go.
In a way, it's a shame because they make this great hardware
that
does not wear out, right?
No.
And it's only...
Might degrade, slow down a little bit. But
it's only aged because they expect you to buy a new phone every two years.
Yeah.
That's a perfectly good phone. It's a shame to waste it. I think this is a very good way to keep it alive. Good,
absolutely. Good job. Yeah. I'm going to yell over the bubbling that's happening behind me right now with
email
number two.
Let me put it up to the microphone.
Thank you. Let's see here. Brandon writes, are there any cell phone holders that aren't the worst ever? Short and to the point. Because
okay,
what does he mean?
What does he mean?
I'm pretty positive that he's talking about car stuff.
In the car. Yeah.
Car. And I actually, like, this is an easy one for me to answer
what
because I
use?
Love mine. I have it right here. It is the Ram.
That thing is scary looking.
Ram X Grip. This is a mount that's not inexpensive. It's $50, but I love it. It's like ever since I've gotten this, I've had no issues whatsoever. These man, it feels like a noisy Skype connection right now.
There's something going on. Here, take this away, please. Oh my God.
Oh man. Okay. So
what makes this so great?
I feel like the ones that I've hated. Yes, this is exactly where. Oh, I don't have my phone on me. But basically, you just go like this, boop, and you pop
hold
it in
any,
there,
any
and then you
kind
let go.
Of phone, I presume. Right?
Yes, and that's kind of the beauty of it. It's really easy to put something in
and
there.
Let me see the other side. So that's a suction cup.
Yeah. So that's a suction cup. You can position it any way you want when you loosen that up. And,
in the state,
lock
it depends what state you're in, but some states, for instance, California, will only allow you to use a suction cup in certain areas of the windshield. So you should always check your local laws.
Yep.
Those don't work so well on dashboards, right? They just
yeah,
don't
unless you have like
dashboard.
A really you know a smooth kind of almost glass like surface to attach it to.
Right.
The good thing about the Ram ecosystem is that this whole part right here can interchange with other mounts.
Right.
So you could take it off of the suction cup and put it onto like a bike mount or maybe something that you know fits more into the vent, something like that. But I love how this one secures the phone inside of the X mount. You just pop it down, put your phone in, and let go.
You've kind of convinced me. You're kind of winning me over on this.
And it's just really easy to use. Yeah. It's very universal. It's not cheap plastic. It's very durable and nice and considerable. You know, it doesn't feel cheap.
Solid.
So this would be my recommendation.
What about, because this is the issue. Like, as you saw that image, that is an illegal mount in the state of California. You can't put something there. You have to put it in the lower left or the lower right. You can't just put it in the middle like that. And I understand they're concerned about you blocking your view through the windshield.
Right.
What about the vent mounts? Have you tried any of those?
I've not had good luck with that. Anytime I try the vent mounts, I feel like they're so precariously attached to the vent. Yeah. It's not a tight, secure fit. And this is something that you're putting your phone in and taking it out of every single day, let's say, while you're driving. So you want it to be nice and secure. This always feels very secure to me. It's kind of loosey-goosey.
Other one I would recommend is Rockform, R-O-K-F-O-R-M. They have a huge variety of mounts. They have actually a system. So once you get the basic Rockform case, that's the drawback. You have to use a Rockform case on your phone. And it has a special grommet on the back that's going to attach the Rockform. And then you can use suction cups, vent mounts. There's strong magnetic mounts, which I really like because the magnet, it's a one of those rare earth magnets that really holds. And those, I think, are probably the best solution. But again, a special case is required. And for a lot of people, they want to use the case they want to use. They don't want to use a special case.
Yeah, that's an asterisk for sure.
Yeah. So this is a good company that I would also look at as another option that gives you a variety of choices in a variety of cases. ROK form. And yours was again?
The Ram X Grip.
Ram X Grip. I'm going to have to try that. You know, I actually gave up on mounting my phone. I just kind of throw it in the little change.
But then when you're navigating,
I want it there.
Where
somehow.
Is it?
Yeah,
you're in Tesla. So
all right,
it's probably less of a deal, right?
Yeah, I have a 17-inch screen.
You've got enough screen.
I feel like I want my phone too. There's stuff on my phone I want to see.
Yeah.
Hey, Jason, always a pleasure. I love all about Android because I am an Android fanatic, and it's the best way to learn about what's going on with Android. You have some of the best people. A lot of Googlers listen, so you always have great people. Yeah. I want you to get Hiroshi back on.
I would love to.
He's been up to some interesting things. He came back from vacation, he tweeted. You saw this?
What's that?
And he said, I came back from vacation, and I found a stack of new devices on my desk to test. He's obviously got the Pixel 3. You got to call Hiroshi and get him on the show.
He's just ribbing us at this point.
He's teasing us. No pictures.
Very good at that.
Hiroshi?
Very good at teasing.
Pictures or it didn't happen.
Yeah, we don't believe you.
We don't believe you. See if that works.
We'll see if we can get Hiroshi back.
Tuesday afternoon, it's 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. If you want to watch all about Android, of course, you can always download it. We had a little kerfuffle with the YouTube channel. We're working on that.
Oh, yeah.
Just go to youtube.com/twit, and you can then subscribe to the All About Android channel from there. That's probably the best thing
Absolutely.
For this show, we do it every Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, Saturday afternoon, right after the Tech Guys show, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. That's 2200 UTC. I'll always love it if you watch live. If you do, join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. Our live stream is at twit.tv/live. But as with everything you do, you don't have to watch live. I know you've got a busy life. You can download copies of the show and watch it at your convenience. That's at twit.tv/NSS for new screensavers. Or maybe the easiest thing to do, subscribe in your favorite podcatcher. That way you'll get every episode the minute it's available. Of course, another way people listen to All About Android, the new screensavers, all the Twit shows, is with your Amazon Echo, your Google Home, even your HomePod with Siri and your Harman Kardon device. You can just, most of those devices, you just say the name, you know, Echo, listen to new screensavers or listen to All About Android. You get the most recent episode. To me, that's the best possible way.
That's awesome.
To listen. I don't know about you, but my tiki seems to be a little bit low. I think we better visit the Tiki Tron for an update. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on the new screensavers.
Bye, everybody.
Yay! Tiki, 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 Kronos. Oh, my God! It's a new god! Ah!